Well, why don't we get started then? I have a message today that I'm really looking forward to presenting. And it's something that it's as a result of what I saw on Friday. Today is Sunday, so I've put together these notes fairly quickly. It was actually that evening. I just was, rifling down some thoughts on paper because I thought, this is not right. I watched a lady, her name is the Green Smoothie Girl. She's got this live video that was pretty good. And she just basically ranted on what's going on in the world and how she was raised up in the political scenario and setting. And she understands some of this stuff, so she was able to use some terms that I'm not very familiar with, but I could see how they would fit in. And she talked about her father having the same, security access as some others in specific places. And she said, my dad had that same exact job. And so she had quite a bit to say. And she was talking about HR 6666 and how she didn't like the name. And she said, what a queer name, HR 6666. And people, I saw, I don't know how many, because it's impossible to go ahead and see how many, but there was a bunch of people that were saying, the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast. And so after we pray, I'm going to talk about that for a minute. Like, is HR 6666 the mark of the beast? Do we have contact tracing being the mark, And so I'm going to just look at what the Bible says. I don't know everything about the government. I don't know what plans are being made. I just know what's been available to the public, which is probably that much at this point compared to what they have. And so I'm just going to share my Bible understanding of what is and what is not the mark of the beast, and how we're going to look at some scripture today and try to understand some things from an angle that was just put together really quickly, only because that happened on Friday and I knew I wanted to do something today, which is Sunday. And so pray with me as we get started, and we'll see what God does in this meeting here. So I'm going to bow. If you'd like to do that, that's fine. If you can't, I understand. No problem. Just kneel in your heart, if you will. Father in heaven, I thank you for giving us this time. I do pray that you'd bless us, that we can understand a little bit more of what the Bible says and also what it doesn't say. Give us a clear mind. Help us to come to conclusions that are based on your Bible. I thank you for this. I know that I'm going to cover a lot of information really quickly, so I pray that people who hear this will be able to take the time to stop and study and research and look at what the Bible says and the various references that I will give, that we will not read all of them. And just help us to, in a big picture, put these things together so that while we're looking for the details, we'll be able to know where they can fit in. Bless us, we pray, and don't allow me to speak. I don't want to hear my voice. I want to hear the voice of your Son speaking through his Spirit and, of course, using his words. We thank you for this and pray that you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, our time together starts now. Hopefully, we'll be together for about an hour or so. And what we'll look at, as I said, is this idea of HR 6666. Now, HR 6666, it is not the mark of the beast. Why not? I have personally seen online, as I described earlier, where a lot of people, and it wasn't just a few, it wasn't like three or four, there was a ton of people, because there was all these people, you could see their comments going up the screen when she was doing the live video on Facebook. And so I was just thinking, man, all these people are saying that it's the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast. Well, the mark of the beast is a concern. Let's not say it's not, but let's wonder if this is really the mark of the beast. So there was a lot of people that have associated this HR 6666 bill with the mark of the beast, but it's not that. And here's why. Okay, so now this is what you've been waiting for. Revelation 13, verse 18, which is the verse that comes up with this 666, let's read it. Here is wisdom. That's something we all need. Okay, the Bible says, I'm going to just go ahead and find it real quick. The Bible says in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 4, it's been a while there since I've been there. It's verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and he doesn't upbraid if you ask for wisdom. He doesn't say, hey, come on, what's wrong with you? The wisdom shall be given you, okay? If we ask who? We need to ask God. God's the one that sends his Spirit. So if we lack wisdom, we ask God. We've already asked God in prayer this time, And so we're going to continue on. Here is wisdom. By the way, wisdom is only used four times in the book of Revelation, twice describing the Lord, twice describing the Antichrist. Let him that has understanding, so we need wisdom and understanding, something that God gives both of. Let him that has understanding count. That word count is compute. Let him that has understanding compute the number of the beast. Okay, so there is a mark of the beast, and there is also a number of the beast. So guess what? HR 6666 is not the mark, neither is it the number. Here's why. It is the number of a man, not a House bill. Okay, so the House of Representatives bill, 6666, is not the mark of the beast. It is not the number of the beast, because the number of the beast is the number of a man, as it says right there in Revelation 13, 18. And so his number, the man's number, is 666. Now this word three score is simply an Elizabethan English way of saying 3 times 20. So 3 20s and 6. So you have 60. 3 times 20 is 6. 600, 3 times 20, which is 60, and 6. That's what that means. So according to the Bible verse here, you have to count or compute the number of a man. It's the number of a beast, but it's the number of a man. And his number is 600, 66. So here we have this idea that it is the number of a man, right? But I'm going to show you also that it's the number of his name, okay? I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten, past tense, we've got to understand this section here, Revelation 15, is still future tense for us. Them that had gotten victory. Oh, you know what I need to italicize, so it's the same as this verse up here. They had gotten victory over the beast, okay, over the beast's image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. Stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So we know that it is the number of a man, right? I'm going to underline that for a second. And I also know that it's the number of his name. Whoa. So now the Bible has given us some extra clues, some more better clues, if you will, that the HR 6666, even though it looks ominous with three sixes, which would make up 666, it is not the mark of the beast. It is not the number of the beast. Does it have a connection? Absolutely. In fact, it has a huge connection. I think what they're trying to do with this contact tracing bill is preparatory to the mark of the beast. And so is it ominous? Yes, absolutely. And why? It's because of what the goals are for the world, which is leading to the mark of the beast. And that's what we can see in this HR 666 with contact tracing. If you don't know what HR 666 is, go ahead and look it up for yourself. Okay, there's probably links all over the place. You can find that for yourself. I didn't even take enough time to put the link in here. Maybe I can do it before I post these notes up. Anyways, you can see that this is raw information, kind of like a YouTube live, except the blessing of this part is I have the ability to edit it, which I really like, because sometimes I say things like, oops, I didn't mean it that way. I should edit it. And so anyways, that's my favor to not doing it live. Anyways, like it says, we're to count or compute, to use another possible rendition of the Greek word. It is a number, but remember, it only has three sixes, not four. So we can't confuse what's going on in America with something that has a specific place in history, as well as a very broad application to what is going on in the world, to something that just looks like it. Okay, there's three sixes in Revelation 13, verse 18. There's four sixes in the HR bill. So because it looks like it doesn't mean that's what it is. So I want to stress that very, very strongly. Like I said, it's the number of a man, as linked in Revelation 15, verse 2. It's the number of his name. So, and the number of his name, right? And in order to understand the history of this number, Let's understand a bit about the beast. Okay, that's very important. And we already looked at this before in our series of answers, but I'm going to look at it again for the sake of this setting. We have the beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, which is the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. And then you have the second beast of Revelation 13. I'm going to call this one the Son of the Most High God, because if I were to go ahead and select that right there, Son of the Most High God, and I went to search that phrase, I'm going to quote, end the quote, and I'm going to find in Mark 5:7, it's a demon who actually says that. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Okay, so a demon is the one that called Jesus the Son of the Most High God. It's a phrase only used once in the Bible. And so this beast here that's personating Jesus Christ, the demon, if you will, the ultimate demon, Satan, you can see that he knew exactly who Jesus was, called him by name, the Son of the Most High God. Anyways, there's it's referred to as a beast in Revelation 13, and Jesus is referred to as a beast in chapter 5, verse 6. They both come up out of the water. You can see right here in Numbers 2 and 2. They both look like the one before them. This one looked like the beast of Revelation 12, verse 3, which, if you turn there real quick, Revelation 12, verse 3, it says that there is a dragon having seven heads. Okay, it's a dragon, so not a beast, but a dragon is a beast, and he has seven heads and ten horns. Well, guess what? Revelation 13, verse 1 also has, what does it say? It says seven heads and ten horns, right? So they both look like the one before them, because Jesus, when John chapter 14, verse 9, it says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." They both have horns. I covered it more in detail last time. I'm not going to cover it now, as like this one has seven and this one has ten. Why? It's because of prophecy. You can go back in Daniel and see that this one ends up having seven. So then, well, seven plus itself, and this one has seven plus itself, so that's more specific. This one has 10 crowns. This one has many crowns. It's actually seven if you go to Early Writings, page 53. And then it says that there's a name written on him and there's a name written on him. They both look like a leopard, a lion, and a bear. They both have power, throne, and authority given to them by the one before them. They both are wounded unto death. They both have that deadly wound healed. The world wanders after both of them, according to the Bible, and they both continue the same amount of time, 3.5 years, 1260 days, a time, and a dividing of time. You can find that in Daniel chapter 9 for Christ and also in the book of John. So here's this idea that the Antichrist is doing everything that it can to personate Jesus Christ. It's making an image to Christ, if you will. And so this idea of the beast looking Christian is like top notch for what the Bible is trying to describe. The Antichrist beast is not, or person, if you will. Some people say it's a person. It's not. It's a nation. The beast means nation. If you go and find that in the Bible, it's Daniel chapter 7, verses 17 and 23. What I'm saying is the idea that the Antichrist is a very professional-looking businessman, say from Romania, that has lots of ability and networking skills, etc., and just kind of like dominates the world because of his, you know, worldly wise man kind of activities and abilities. That's not biblical. It's not true. It's just man-made. It's an ideology that the devil came up with, really, to distract from the real scenario. So I keep saying that the whole issue of Revelation 13 and 14, the end of times, is all about worship. Well, guess what? The Antichrist looks just like Jesus. Why? Because he wants worship. So that's really the whole focus of the entire Antichrist system. And the second beast, remember, of Revelation 13 is trying to make an image to the first beast, which looked like Jesus Christ and did everything it could to get worship. So let's continue on with the notes here. So the beast has worked hard to personate Jesus Christ, and it's done a good job. If you look at what we just saw in this gray area, like I'll tell you, this gray section, it's not black and it's not white, it's very gray. I think that's symbolic. And it's done a good job to personate. And the image of the beast, the one associated with the number 6666, not, sorry, 6666, it's number 666 in question, which is, you know, verses 15 through 17 in the book of Revelation chapter 13. it will look similar to the original beast. Okay? So the image looks just like the original beast. So a beast in Bible prophecy is a symbol of a nation, as seen in the prophetic book of Daniel. We're going to read it here, as I mentioned it earlier. These great beasts, which are four beasts, are four kings. So the beasts represent kings. But my question is, what is a kingdom without a king, right? So if you don't have a king and a kingdom together, you don't have a king or a kingdom. So that's why the fourth beast is really the fourth kingdom. And so the fourth beast is a king, the fourth beast is a kingdom, because kings and kingdoms go together. If you don't have one, you don't have the other. So considering the second beast of Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, now remember this is the second one, there will be, according to the symbolism of prophecy, a beast or a kingdom which will come up in an unpopulated area. My kids say it all the time. Wait, what? And so this whole idea that it will come up in an unpopulated area, where did that come from? So you see, the Bible says that the waters, the first beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, come up out of, represent something. So these waters actually represent something. Notice that it is a beast with seven heads that comes up out of the waters, just as in Revelation 17, verses 1 through 3. It says, the waters which thou sawest, okay, it's in chapter 17 that has waters, and it's also in chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, not there as it says. Oh, here it is, Revelation 13, 1 through 10. So the waters which you saw where the whore is sitting, which is in Revelation 17, these are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So lots of people. The waters represent lots of people. Okay, so in other words, the waters, which the beast was upon in Revelation 17, verse 1, and which the beast rose up out of in 13, verse 1, represent a bunch of people. Whoops. And so it represents a high population. So then, the beast coming up out of the earth is opposite of the beast coming up out of the water. Okay, so you have this idea that earth and water are somewhat opposite as far as landmass is concerned. The Bible doesn't have a clear description of the symbol of the earth. So we deduce that the earth beast or nation, because it doesn't have crowns, it's not a kingdom, it's a nation, it does not come up out of a populated area, but an unpopulated area of the world. And it's Christian. Wait, what? It's got lamb-like horns, right? That's what the Bible says. Christ, the Son of the living God, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 16, I'll just read it to you if I went ahead and found that quote. Quote, paste, quote. It's twice in the Bible. First, Peter says it. Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I'm pretty sure in this next one, John 6, 69, that it's, yep, Simon Peter again. He answered and he said, "We believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so we have this scenario where in both times, Matthew 16 and John 6, we have Peter saying that Jesus is the Son of the living God. So this beast of Revelation 13, the second one in verses 11 through 18, it has lamb-like horns. And Christ, the Son of the living God, is lamb-like. You can see that in John chapter 1, verse 29. So we're going to turn to John chapter 1, 29. And John the Baptist, this is not John the author, John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming unto him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And so this was not a lamb like had been described throughout the Old Testament with, you know, four legs and the one that kind of goes, you know, ba, but or ba, however you say that. And so, but this is the Lamb of God. I just had a Bible study the other night in my home, and we talked quite a bit about the sanctuary and how it represents the Lamb of God. This was a very in-depth statement that John made. Behold, the Lamb of God. Because this is what sin does to the lamb. It kills the lamb. Sin causes death. And you can see in the sanctuary what God is going to do with sin. It takes away the sin of the world. So sin causes death and God takes sin away. And that's what the sanctuary is all about. And so this idea that Jesus Christ is the lamb, and this beast is lamb-like, with lamb-like horns rather, it too looks a bit like Christ, and it causes all to worship. Again, let me state, this is the focus of Revelation 13 and 14, actually 12, 13, and 14, because the dragon gives power to the beast to get worship, and then the beast gives breath or life to the image to be able to receive worship as well. So this threefold God-like personation, God the Father, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God are being personated as though they are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Right there in Revelation 12 and 13, you have this false scenario of God. It's like a three-in-one thing, and we know the Trinity is not true. It's not biblical. I completely reject it from with all fronts. There's not even a little bit right in it. And it's Satan's description of what he's trying to come up with at the end of time to deceive. That's what Revelation 12, 13 is all about. It's about the truth of what the enemy is trying to expose in this world to deceive people away from God. And so we're going to go back to the notes here. And notice carefully the wording of Revelation 13, 11 through 18, and the italics that I have in blue. Okay. I beheld another beast. The beast, remember, according to Daniel 7 and verses 17 and 23, is a nation. Okay. Back then it was a kingdom, but now we're going to call it a nation because this beast does not have crowns on its horns. Okay. So there's another beast coming up. Now the Greek word actually means to go up, arise, or ascend, kind of like a plant coming up out of the earth. It's a slow ascension, arise. It's this beast coming up, or nation coming up out of the earth. Remember, we talked about the water representing people, but the earth represents the opposite, an unpopulated area. He had two horns. Now, the horns are symbols of power, like the ram in Daniel chapter 8, verse 3. So I'm going to actually go there real quick. Daniel 8, verse 3. I lifted up mine eyes and I saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram. Now, this ram is something you need to remember. It's a ram that had two horns. The two horns were high. Remember, they are horns. And one of those horns was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. So there's horns on one animal, which is a ram. Now, I'm going to go to the explanation of this ram. It's in verse 20. The ram which you saw having two horns, so this one animal, one beast that had two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. Now, if you find out what happened in history, and if you continue in the book of Daniel, you realize that the Medo-Persians were one, okay? The Medes and the Persians came together, so they were Medo-Persia. And so this ram, this one beast, had two powers. The two powers were the Medes and the Persians, which actually came together to be Medo-Persia. That's why it's one ram with two expressions on that one ram. The one expression was the Medes, the other was the Persians. And so in the same way there in Revelation chapter 13, you have this one beast, okay, that had two horns. So there are two expressions of this beast's power. And the expressions, I would say, which are lamb-like, looking Christian, are, like I said, I would say, are republicanism and Protestantism. One nation under God. That's what's on the bills of America. You can see it right there. This is a civil government with one nation under God. That looks very representative of a Christian nation, right? And so Protestantism is how the nation was founded. The Protestant believers of this nation came directly from Europe to be able to establish their own nation, of course, because they wanted a church without a pope and a nation without a king. Those were the things that they wanted here in America. So it was a Protestant nation, Republicanism and Protestantism were how it was founded. So there was one nation with two powers, just like the Medes and the Persians as one, Protestantism and Republicanism as one. They came together and they established this one nation that was very lamb-like. It was very Christian. But the problem is, he spake as a dragon. Who is the dragon? In Revelation 12, verses 7 through 11, you can see that the dragon is Satan. And I'll just read it with you. There was war in heaven. Michael, another name for Christ, not meaning that he was created. We know he was begotten, but Michael is another name, the Lord of the angels. He was the highest of the angels, one who is like God, Michael means. So Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon, Satan, fought in his angels. How was it Satan? Well, they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, and called the devil and Satan. He deceives the whole world. That's his goal, is to deceive. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So now the devil is here with his angels. And you can see that the enemy comes, and there's a loud voice. Christ is victorious, and they overcome this devil or the dragon by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And those that actually overcome, they love not their lives even unto the death. So the enemy is quite angry with these people. Going back to the notes here, it says, and he, representing the kingdom which came up in an unpopulated area of the world that looks lamb-like or Christian, what does he do? He exercises all the power or authority, according to the Greek, authority or ability. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Who's the first beast? But the one that looked very Christian. Remember the gray section that we talked about, where he is an animal like Christ. They both come up out of the water. They both look like each other. They both have horns. They both have crowns. They both look like the leopard, the lion, and the bear. It goes on and on and on. They both received a deadly wound that was healed. It was the kingdom which did its best to not only personate Christ, but persecute God's people. That's who this second beast is trying to exercise all the power of. Now, and he causes, that's the beast here that looks Christian, that speaks like a dragon. He causes the world. That word is to make. He makes, in the Greek, the earth, which is a worldwide movement, and them which dwell in, or dwell therein, which is all the people. He causes them to do what? To worship. That's the whole focus, which is church and state, by the way. He causes all the world to worship the first beast. Wait a minute. Who's the first beast? It's the first beast that was Christ personating. It was a kingdom, and it persecuted God's people, right? So his deadly wound was, past tense, healed. So there was a time, or this is referring to a time after that persecuting power was gone, but yet it made its way back into power again, right? So you have this beast that's coming up in an unpopulated area that exercises all the power of that first beast, and he causes everybody to worship. The whole world causes them to worship that first beast, and he does, this is still that second beast that looks Christian with the lamb-like horns, he does great wonders. The word wonders is miracles in the Greek. It's the same exact word as this one here, miracles. So he does great wonders, or miracles, so that he makes fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. That's the same thing that Elijah did in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. He deceives, which is a deceptive nation. Remember, it's not a kingdom because he doesn't have horns. It's a deceptive nation using miracles. As it said here, wonders, that same word for miracles. He uses miracles and pharmakia. Pharmakia in the Greek is where we get the word pharmacy, and it's stated that way in Revelation 18, verse 23. The word sorceries in Revelation 18, 23 is actually what pharmakia is. And the Bible says that this kingdom, Babylon, is deceiving the earth by the sorceries. It's deceiving by the pharmakia. And so I'm guessing when you put two and two together that there's going to be a lot of deception of miracles that have to do with pharmakia or sickness, okay? Deceiving the world because of what's happening in the realm of pharmakia. Okay. So, them that dwell on the earth, so he's deceiving everybody that dwells on the earth by the means of those miracles. Remember, pharmakia is connected to this power. You can just do the connection with the seven-headed beast in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, and then the destruction of that beast and its power, which is Babylon, the mother of harlots. You put it all together and it works very well. You just have to study, you have to think, and you have to pray over these things, and it starts making better sense. So it's deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, the pharmakia miracles, and like it's the same word as wonders up above, which he had power or authority to do in the sight of the beast. The sight of the beast, in other words, face to face. They are working together. They are co-laboring, bringing of course the world into submission, bringing into the world into submission to that first persecuting power, because it's an image to that beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that's everybody, that they, as the people, kind of like a republic, should make an image to the beast. So they, not the nation making the image, but that they should make an image to the beast. So the people are going to come together with a voice, a united voice, kind of like a republic, that they should make an image to the beast, something that looks just like the previous beast, a world ruling, persecuting church and state kingdom that blasphemed the God of heaven. Yeah, they're going to make that kind of beast or nation, which had, past tense, the wound by a sword and did live. So when this persecuting power comes to life again, when he had a wound by a sword and did live, it's going to be ugly for the world. Now, he, the second Christ-like nation that exercises all the world-ruling power of the first beast before him, as stated in verse 12, he had power. So this second beast had power, authority in the Greek, or ability, right? To give life. That word life is breath. And just as Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," in the same way, this false Christ is going to be breathing life into his image. So you have this crazy connection between the true Father, the true Son, and the true Spirit, with this false Father, the false Son, and the false Spirit. And it just keeps getting deeper and deeper as time goes on and the more we study. So what we're looking at here is that he has power to give life or breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause. So a nation speaking, which is through civil laws, and causing, which is through civil force, I'm going to put that word there, that as many as would not worship, these are what the Bible says, these are not my comments, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So this is church and state with how would you say, force. This is on steroids. This is a persecution enlisted for control again. It is as it has been in the past during the time of the first beast before him. This is during the Dark and Middle Ages when the church and state had come together. And if you didn't follow the dictates of the conscience of the church and state power, you were going to be killed. Now, so HR 6666, is it the mark of the beast? No, but it's really ominous in that it's very similar. 666, you can pull it out of the front of it, the middle of it, the end of it, you know, any way you want, you can get it out of it. There's 666 there. That doesn't make it the mark, that doesn't make it the image, that doesn't make it the number of the beast, but it's real close. And the direction or the place that it is going will likely, I'm not a prophet, I can't foretell, but I'm thinking 95% more likely it will help fulfill the mark of the beast with these contact tracers and the apps telling you, or rather telling Big Brother where you are at what time and who you're next to. That's like mega data that's going to be put together, and you're going to be able to be linked with those who do worship and don't worship, who believe a certain way and who don't. That's the enemy's goal. He's trying to use civil authority and civil power to try to segregate people, kind of like the Jews were segregated over here and the Germans were segregated over there. We're separating people. We're going to try to put people into camps, if you will, data camps, so that you will be able to be taken care of without others being taken care of in the same way. It's so similar to the Holocaust, it's insane the way that these things will probably come about. And so what we're seeing here is Revelation 13, 16. He causes, remember this is forcing all. He will force all with civil authority, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Everybody's involved. It doesn't matter who you are. He causes all to receive a mark, not a number in the right hand. The right hand represents works, by the way, and the forehead represents beliefs. And so this mark, it's not a physical mark. We've talked about beasts. We've talked about the earth. We've talked about water. We've talked about time, times, and a dividing of time, or 42 months. These are all symbolic statements. And so to take the mark and make it literal, it's completely wiping out everything that the Bible's trying to say. We can't say that this mark is literal. It's not. The mark is a symbol that's used in Bible prophecy as a real thing. Okay, now what is this real thing? Is it something that's a stamp on somebody? Is it an implanted chip? No, it's not. The Bible makes it pretty clear through the history of the Bible and through the prophecies and all the related activities that God is trying to help us establish Him as our leader, as our ruler, as our guide. And the enemy at the same time is using civil authorities to try to establish himself as our leader, as our ruler, as our guide. What does that mean? Okay, well, let's go to the Bible for a moment and let's see what it says in Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths, God says, to be a sign or a mark, a symbol between me and them, that's the Lord and His people, that they, that's His people, God's people, the children of Israel, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. Okay, so the Sabbath was sanctified in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Sabbath was sanctified, and we're to keep that day holy as a sign so that we might know that the Lord is the one that sanctifies us. And now let's go to verse 20. Hallow my Sabbaths. Okay, so I want you to keep holy my Sabbaths that I've given you. Every week, the Sabbaths that are mine. And this, at this time, would have included the seven yearly festivals as well, the ceremonial Sabbaths. That those Sabbaths, that they shall be a symbol, a mark, or a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. So the whole point is that the Sabbath, which was sanctified at the very beginning of creation, it's not something about the law of Moses. It has nothing to do with the Israelites. It has nothing to do with the Jews. It was given before there was a Jew or an Israelite on the planet. The Sabbaths are going to be a mark or a sign between us or God and us, you, the children of Israel. And so if God has given His Sabbath as a sign, that is putting Him in the place as the one that sanctifies us. What do you think the enemy that's trying to look just like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is going to implement on behalf of the world so that they will have a sign or a mark or a symbol that will establish Him as the one, the Satan, as the one that is sanctifying and putting, you know, in their proper place, those that follow Him? Well, it would be something that looks very similar to the Sabbath. Let's go and read the third angel's message real quick in Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, or rather through 12. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice. That loud voice, by the way, goes to all the world in chapter 18. You can see it. If any man worship, that's the whole focus. If any man worship, not God the Father, but the beast and His image. Okay, so we have the beast representing Christ and His image representing His people. We have Christ and His people. So the beast and His image, that's what's being personated here. If any man worship the beast and His image, by the way, the dragon was the one that gave power to the beast, which gave power to the image. And God the Father gives power to the Son, which gives power to us through His Spirit. And so if any man worship the beast and His image and receive his mark, his sign, his symbol in his belief system or in his actions, get it? The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest like you receive on the seventh day. You receive the rest of God because God rested on the seventh day from all the works that he has done. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says there remains a rest or a sabbathismos to the people of God. They have no rest who worship and keep the beast's day. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receives his sign or symbol of his name. But contrary to those who receive the mark of the beast are the saints. Here, contrary, is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, including the seventh-day Sabbath, and the faith of Jesus. So, you have those that worship the beast and his image, okay? Or you have those that keep the commandments of God and his image, okay? Now, Christ, the beast in this scenario, is also establishing his image on the earth. And it's the same way. So it goes back and forth. The Father and his Son, right? And you have the Son and his image. And so the whole scenario is that you have the beast and his image, and you have the Father and his Son. That's the whole struggle. Do you worship the Father and his Son, or do you worship the beast and his image? You will receive the mark of the beast and his image, or you will receive the sign of the Father and his Son contained in the Ten Commandments, which is the Sabbath. So this whole scenario of what's going on between the beast and his image and what's happening in Revelation 13 with the entire beast being given life by the image of the beast being given life by the second beast, that whole thing is preparing people to worship, to either receive the mark of God or the mark of the beast, the sign of God or the sign of the beast, the day of God or the day of the beast. When you start studying what it means to receive the seal of God and what it means to receive the mark of the beast, you will come away with an understanding that it's all about whose authority are you under. If you are under the authority of God, you will keep his commandments. And one of the commandments that describes clearly who God is the seventh or the fourth commandment, which is the seventh day. He is the Lord of heaven and earth as the creator. So who he is, where he is, and what he does is described in the Sabbath commandment. You can read it for yourself in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 11. And so we find here this incredible description of what's going on in the Bible, and it's found in the third angel's message, Revelation 14, 9 through 12. As we go back to the notes, we're going to see that this second beast, he forces everybody, right, to receive a mark. It's not a number. Okay, that's the number of the beast. The mark of the beast is what shows it its authority. They receive it in their right hand, which is their works, or in their forehead, representing their beliefs. Now, verse 17 is very important to understand as well. That no man might buy or sell. So there will be an economic boycott to those who will not follow the dictates of their conscience. So if you don't worship the beast and receive the mark in your right hand or in your forehead, you won't be able to buy or sell. And trust me, that's going to be an ugly time for people. No man might buy or sell except, that word save means except, he that has the mark. If you don't keep Sunday as a day sacred, showing that you honor the worldly system of the beast and his image, you will not be able to buy. You will not be able to sell. It's about Sunday legislation. Look up for yourself. There is a green project, Green Day Project, I think is what it's called. And it's small. It's not a big ministry right now, but it does have a website. It's up, and they're trying to initiate the world to establish Sunday as a day of rest. And interestingly, Jews are involved in that project, and they're wanting Sunday to be the day of rest too. I cannot understand why and how that is the truth, but I do believe that Jews, those that understand the actual history of where they came from and their original dedication to God and his commandments, they will come forward and they will be a strong voice to speak the truth about God and his law and how through the faith of his Son, Jesus Christ, that came 2,000 years ago, lived and died for our sins, they are the ones that will be able to establish the truth about Christ in a very powerful and positive way. So I'm looking forward to them being able to get this in their heads. But the whole scenario is that the day that you choose to serve or honor really represents the God who you serve and honor. So it's just like Cain and Abel, right? Cain served the false God, which was himself. He wanted to offer what God did not describe or did not mandate. But Abel, he offered what God described and mandated. And so God can mandate. He is the king of the universe. And so if we honor him, we will honor his day. If we honor ourselves or Satan, we will give to God what we want or what the world wants instead, just like Cain offered that which God did not want. And so the whole Cain and Abel scenario of Genesis chapter 4 shows the end time worship scenario. And guess what? Cain had a mark placed on him because he did not worship God according to the dictates of God's conscience. And so we must understand that those that worship God are going to follow him according to the dictates of his conscience. And so we must be completely surrendered to the Father and his Son. I'm going to go back and look at the notes here for a moment. And so it ends up that no man might buy or sell except the one that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, this whole scenario, here is wisdom. We looked at it earlier. Let him that has understanding count or calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Because we are talking about the first beast of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, and an image to that beast with the help of the second beast, okay, which is in verses 11 through 18 of Revelation 13, we should ask a few questions about the first beast. What does he look like? Remember, 13:2, it says that he looks like a leopard, a bear, and a lion, right? Well, of course, Christ looks like a leopard, a bear, and a lion. You can see that in Hosea 13. He is the beast or kingdom or nation. I'm going to say kingdom in this case because he did have crowns on his horns. That he is the beast that is made up of the animal-like characteristics of the leopard, the bear, and the lion. Why? Good question. Well, where does that come from? Daniel 7 has those same beasts, except in reverse order. Wait, what? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because Daniel was seeing a beast from the first of the four beasts. He was in the kingdom of Babylon, which was the first beast. You are this head of gold, and the lion of Daniel 7 represents the same characteristics of the first description in Daniel chapter 2 of the kingdom, which was Babylon. In Daniel 7 verses 1 through 8, you can see John was seeing the same prophecy from a different time and place, from a different angle. John was seeing the last of the four beasts, and he was in the kingdom of the last of the four beasts. John was seeing the prophecy from the beast called the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, in Daniel 7 verse 7. So, what were the beasts in Daniel 7 verses 1 through 8? It was a lion, a bear, and a leopard, with the final beast not really having a description. Just like in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. It doesn't have a description because what do you call a seven-headed beast? You don't call a seven-headed beast something that looks like a lion, a bear, and a leopard. But you do have the description of a lion, a bear, and a leopard there, and it's backwards compared to what you find in Daniel 7 verses 1 through 8. Why? It is well known that Daniel was a ruler in Babylon, and the ram and the he-goat of Daniel 8 verses 20 and 21 represent Medo-Persia and Greece. You can read it for yourself. It just says it like that. It's pretty clear in the Bible. These nations, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, were all world-ruling powers as described by the image of four metals in Daniel chapter 2. You can do that study and find that they're ruling the world. Okay, so what was next? What was the fourth kingdom that came up after Greece that ruled the whole world? It was Rome. Rome was the kingdom that came, or I'm sorry, what kingdom came after Rome, which was given power from Rome that was Christian, at least looked like it was Christian, as mentioned in the chart above that's gray. That It was a kingdom that persecuted God's people and blasphemed God's name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, according to chapter 13, verse 6. The first beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10 is none other than the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, a church state which ruled and persecuted the world for 1260 years, has a man at its head, speaks blasphemous things, and persecuted God's people beyond the dark and Middle Ages. What does it do? It empowers the next beast in Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, to make an image to itself when it had power back in the dark day. That nation that comes up is in an unpopulated area of the world. It has civil authority to cause all to worship. Remember, that's the focus. And has the desire to cause all to worship because of its lamb-like powers or Christ-like characteristics. It deceives the world with miracles of healing as it works with the Greek word pharmakia, as it reads in 18:23, which will enforce or demand or cause all to worship the papal system and give homage to it by establishing the mark of her ecclesiastical authority. It is none other than America, the United States. They're working closely together right now to establish a kingdom on earth that will enforce the papal supremacy. Read those verses again, Revelation 13, all of them. Looking for the papacy when it received power from a nation that was before it, which was Rome. And then look for America, which is currently receiving its power from the papacy, to enforce all to come into line so that finally, in the future days, not too far hence, the world will cause or be caused to worship the papal system, which will demand all to bow to it, which is the papal system, accepting the mark of their ecclesiastical authority. Sunday, as the holy day of theirs, a day never having been made holy or hallowed as a mark of God's authority, but rather Sabbath or Saturday was, like it says in the Bible. And there are Bible studies that go into these prophecies of the book of Revelation at revelationwithdaniel.com, Revelation verse by verse with the hyphens there in between them. That's the link. There's 30 videos. There's now more because of the answers to the questions, but this is chapter one. There's two presentations in that chapter. You might be looking for chapter 13. There's three presentations in that chapter, and there's chapter 14. So there's 30 presentations through these 22 chapters. If you go there, you'll be able to find that chapters that you're interested in. You'll find the notes and the audio. Please ask questions that perhaps I haven't thought of, or maybe I have already thought through, and maybe I need to study them further, or perhaps you need to study it further. Ask me some questions. You might be able to find some answers at revelationwithdaniel.com/contact. So I didn't include, because I had forgotten to, I was busy yesterday all day, and I just didn't remember to include that part, but there's this name that the papal leader, the Pope, has been given, Vicarius Filii Dei. And if you, the reason why you go to the name of this person, because remember, it's the number of a man and it's the number of his name. If you're looking for the persecuting power that existed for 1260 years and blasphemed God's name and did all those crazy things that's described in Daniel 7, Daniel 8, and Revelation 13, you come up with this idea that it's the papacy. And this papacy spoke Latin. And when you go to the number of the man, which is the number of his name, and you find 666 in the name of the man that's connected with the papacy, you come to an understanding that the name of that man is Vicarius Filii Dei, which is specifically known as a name that can equal 666. And it's in the Latin. It's not in English. Like, for example, I saw this video not long ago where COVID-19, if you take the English alphabet and you spell it out with COVID-19, C being 3 because, you know, it's the third letter of the alphabet and onward, you realize that it spells out 666. Well, yeah, okay, that's probably a close relative, but it's not the number of the beast. The reason why is because America is the image of the beast. So you could say it's maybe the image, the number of the image of the beast, but the image of the beast in the Bible is specifically Latin because it was Roman, and it's the number of a man, and it's the number of his name. And so you distill all these things down. It has to be Roman. It has to be Latin. It has to be the number of a man, the number of his name. Who is this but the leader? It's the Pope. Vicarius Filii Dei is what equals 666. And that is the best description that I find in all the study that I've done that comes up with the mark, the name, and the number of his name. So all these things, basically, to spell it out very quickly, America right now is using HR 6666 to try to enforce contact tracing so that you will be known where you are, what you do, what you buy, what you sell, what you say, because it's probably going to be listening to you just like these cell phones do today, and Zoom and Facebook and all these other things. Like, for example, when you say, hey, Google, or when you ask Siri a question, it's listening to you to say, hey, Google or Siri. It's listening for you to say those things. And so you've given the opportunity already for Alexa to listen to you. So when you say, hey, Alexa, Alexa's been listening the whole time to you for when you say that. We've already given over our privacy to the nation, to the world, to the huge monolithic businesses that are making money on all these things and establishing themselves as world rulers. We've already given that over without realizing. And when you hit accept, like, you know, you want to download that app and you hit accept, you've accepted all kinds of stuff. Remember all that happened with Messenger, for example, and Facebook? You gave all sorts of stuff away when you accepted that. And I did too. And so, like, people have gotten rid of it, but I just say, you know what, I'm trying to just spread the gospel message. So whatever they learn from me, hopefully they'll learn the truth. And so that's my idea and my purpose of continuing on just using it. But America is trying to take your rights, take your privacy, be able to know everything about you so it can control you so that you will worship the beast and his image. That's the whole purpose of all of what's going on. HR 6666 is not the number, it's not the mark, but it's leading that direction. So what we need to do is pray very seriously for our own souls. Also, study the Bible. I've got a Bible right here with my name on it. I hope your Bible has your name on it, and it's got fingerprints and marks and references and proof that you have studied the Bible, you've used it, and you're a diligent student. The reason being is only diligent students will be able to be kept from the deceptions that are coming upon this world. If you don't have the help of God, you will not be safe through the coming times. You will be deceived. You will be the one that receives the mark, the number, and the name. And so I'm appealing to you, be a Bible student. Look to God, ask for help, and you will find it. Don't ask your pastor, don't ask me, don't ask videos online. Go to the Bible and study the Bible for yourself. When you know the Bible, then you can start going and asking questions to find out if what you're saying links up with what I've learned in the Bible for myself. If you don't know the Bible, you will be like a wind, or rather like a reed tossed to and fro. So I'm appealing to everybody who's hearing this, please study and pray for yourself that you may be able to know and understand. So I find that learning and understanding the Bible is some of the best activity that I know of to prepare myself for the future. Should you move out of the cities? Yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. Should you eat a plant-based diet? Yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. Should you, you know, protect your family in certain ways? Yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. And so the more you understand the Bible, the more prepared you will be for the end of time. Do you apply these things? Absolutely. But you got to know where you get it from first. You just don't listen to people and then follow their direction, because they might be leading you just like the beast is trying to lead us with the image. So my appeal is that we all study and know what saith the Lord. Let's pray together, and then if you have questions, I'll be happy to take those questions. Holy Father in heaven, I ask that you would please continue to bless and lead us, help us to know and understand what it is that has been said and what I was trying to say. If I've misstated something, maybe it was confusing in somebody's mind, or even it was because I said it confusing, then I pray that you would just help us all to understand, help us to put these things together in such a way that we'll be able to know and understand what saith the Lord, you, through your Holy Bible. I pray that you would help us to be kept from the deceptions that are in this world. I know that they are rampant. This world is becoming crazy. It's just amazing how fast things are going, and we're losing our privacy. We're losing our rights. We're losing our abilities to witness and to share these truths. We just ask that you would enable us as your workers at the end of time. Help us to know your word for ourselves, so that when something is said, we can know whether it's true or whether it is error. Bless us, we pray, and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.